Good morning. It is good to see everyone this morning. So I say it all the time, it's so awesome to worship with the church family, to come and praise Jesus. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Are you thankful for Jesus? Thankful for the cross? As we think about that this morning, as we think about what he did for us. But here's the thing, we do that every Sunday. We gather every Sunday to praise the Lord for sending his son, Jesus. These last few years on Resurrection Sunday, I've begun the message in the same way, just to make some statements of truth. And so I will continue that this year. It's what I believe as a follower of Christ. It's what the church stands on. And it's this: we come this morning proclaiming that Christ is Lord, that Christ is alive. We come proclaiming and celebrating that Jesus is alive, that Christ defeated death, that he rose from the grave. We come proclaiming, and we do this every week, we come proclaiming in our lives every day that Jesus is better than anything. He's better. That he is Lord over all, that Christ is in control. Let me repeat that statement because I think we need to hear that. Christ is in control. He's in control of all history. If we consume ourselves with media and news, we might begin to doubt that. Remind yourself, if you're a believer in Jesus, Christ is in control. He's in control. And Christ is sufficient for everything, for all of our needs. We come proclaiming this morning that Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding for us. And because of Christ and what he did for us on the cross, as Hebrews 4:16 states, we can come with confidence. We draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen? Isn't that awesome? If you're a believer, you can come with confidence to Jesus. Christ is risen from the grave. Amen? We don't serve a God who is dead. We do not worship a wooden statue. We do not worship a person. We serve a living God. And here's what's so cool, is that there is proof of that. There were witnesses that saw Jesus after he rose from the grave. There was more than 500 witnesses after he was crucified. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 8. Let me just read that to you. If you have any doubt that this was, or you think this was some made-up story, Christ died on a cross, he was put in a grave, and then he rose again, and then there were people that saw him after he rose. It says this: "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me." We praise God for Jesus. We praise Christ for going to the cross. We praise God for providing a way of salvation through Christ. And the good news is that tomorrow morning, when you wake up, you can praise him again. And next Sunday, I hope we'll all be back again next week, right? Next week, we're going to praise God again for Jesus and for what he did. The disciples began to celebrate the Lord's Day on Sunday because Christ rose from the grave. And so we do that every Sunday, to come and worship Christ and praise him again. We don't praise him for the cross and for rising from the grave just one day a year. Believers, we will praise him forever. We get to praise him for eternity. If you're visiting with us this morning, I'm so glad you're here. Our church is currently in a message series entitled 10, and we have been looking back at the Old Testament, looking back at the Ten Commandments, looking back what it means if Jesus says, "If you love me, you're going to follow my commands," and looking back at what that looks like. And we're going to be back in that next week. But this morning, we're going to look at a verse in the New Testament as we celebrate this Resurrection Sunday. And I've entitled this morning's sermon, "The Foolishness of the Cross." the foolishness of the cross. Open your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, and we're going to look at one verse this morning. One verse. Chapter 1, verse 18. The foolishness of the cross. As we think about the cross this morning, we think about Christ being put on the cross and then rising again from the grave. As we think about the cross, let us look at this verse and pray that God speaks to our heart this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. This is what it says. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Let's pray. God, thank you for the time to gather as the body of Christ to worship you, to say thank you for being the ultimate sacrifice, for defeating death, for rising from the grave, providing that way to salvation. Lord, we know in Scripture there is only one way to salvation, and it's only through you. It's because of what you did for us. And so we come as the church to say thank you and to praise you and to sing these songs that draw our attention and our worship to you, to give you all the glory. And so now, Lord, we open your word. It is truth. We know that Scripture says all Scripture is breathed out by you, so we trust it. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts this morning. It would encourage, it would affirm those who know you, those who are believers. It would speak mightily and draw those who are lost, those who are looking, those who are in need of salvation. It would draw them, it would produce faith in them and call to them to salvation, Lord. We love you. We give you all the glory. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the word of the cross is folly or foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. I'm sure many of us in this room can think back to a time in their childhood, especially if you grew up in the Bible Belt, if you grew up in Oklahoma or this part of the country, and you can think back to your childhood when the local Christian Bible-believing church was at the heart of the community. Can anyone remember those days? Anyone? Okay. So when the local church had a revival, it was usually packed. When they had a potluck dinner, it drew a crowd. And thank you, East Point, we are bringing the potluck back, right? You guys rocked it the last time. We've got another one coming next Sunday, so it's going to be good. But, you know, the potluck dinners drew a crowd. The revivals drew a crowd. But see, today we live in a different time, in a different culture. In the culture, even in the Bible Belt, it's still here. There's a remnant still here. But our culture has changed, and it continues to change. And we need to understand that the word of the cross, the truth of the gospel, has always been foolishness to the lost. You can kind of cover over it, and you can kind of think, well, this is the Bible Belt, and, you know, people talk about God, and you know, church is kind of, has been kind of one of those things, well, we go to church. But deep down, it's always been foolishness to the lost. The word, the truth of the cross has always been foolishness to the lost. And what we're seeing in this day and time, even in the United States, even in the Bible Belt, this foolishness, this we hate God, we hate the things of God, is way more in our face than it ever has been with media and social media. Today, as it's been for the lost for centuries, today the cross is offensive to those who are lost, and they're not afraid to share that. They're not afraid to tell you. They're not afraid to share their feelings on this matter. And so the question I have this morning as we look at this verse, as we think about the cross, as we think about what Jesus did for us on the cross, why is the word of the cross, why is the gospel so offensive? And here's the answer. Because it's truth. That's the answer, right? Why is the cross so offensive? Why is the gospel message so offensive to a lost world? Because it is truth. And when people come up against truth, they know it, and then they take offense to it. And now we have these cool phrases like, well, let me share my truth, right? Let me speak my truth. And we all are trying to make these things where we're like, well, everybody has their own truth. There's only one truth, and that's Jesus. There is one truth, and that's Jesus. And that's when that comes up against a lost world, that's why it becomes so offensive. And that's why they're either going to listen and the truth will set them free, or they're going to laugh and they'll scoff and they'll make fun of and they'll come against it. So I pray this morning God's truth speaks to your heart. I pray that, because I can't make you understand this is the truth. I can't say, well, this is the truth. I can say that over and over. This is the truth. It's only going to be in your heart. It's only going to be the Holy Spirit that acknowledges that in your life, and you go, yes, it is the truth. And so I pray this morning God's truth, his word, speaks to our hearts. For Christians, those of you that have gathered and you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you are so thankful for the cross, I hope it is a reminder of the power of this message, the power of the gospel, the power of the cross, to be reminded of what Christ did for us on the cross, to be reminded that following Jesus is the narrow road. To the lost, to the doubters, to those who are running, that you know the truth and you are running because you enjoy doing what you want to do. To those who are on the wide road that leads to destruction, I pray, and I have been praying, that hearing the truth of the gospel produces faith in you and that the Holy Spirit will call you to salvation. Because the power of the cross for the Christian is salvation. It is eternal hope. Does anyone want hope? Is anyone looking for hope? Yes, more than ever. We turn on the TV. We turn on our phones and we watch the news. We look at the news. We see the feeds. We look at all this stuff. And people are scared, people are anxious, people are depressed, people are fearful. They're looking for hope, and they keep looking for it in lots of different ways. And there is only one hope, and that's Jesus Christ. That's it. Let's dig into this verse this morning. The foolishness of the cross. Let's start there. Let's start the beginning part of this verse. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. The foolishness of the cross. Paul, in a very straightforward, this is such a simple verse, it just says it very clearly. Paul, in a very straightforward manner, is explaining that there are basically two types of people in this world, okay? There's just two. Those who are perishing, unbelievers, and those who are being saved, believers. That's it. There's two types of people. In simple terms, this verse explains how believers and how unbelievers view the gospel. Let's look at the unbelievers first, and we're going to save that hope and that good news to the end, okay? Because there is really good news. Unbelievers, those who are lost, unbelievers live their lives with pride. They live according to a sinful human wisdom with no need for God. They have no need for God, and therefore, because they are all about themselves and all about their own intellect and all about their own who they are and all the pride, they have no need for God, and therefore the message of the cross is ludicrous to them. It's absolute foolishness to them. We see that in our culture today with social media news, the up-to-the-second videos, the statements. It's easy to see very quickly what people think about Jesus, the cross, and the gospel. It just comes right out as soon as they want to share it, right? When humans elevate their wisdom above God, there is no longer room for God, and then everything of God looks like foolishness to them. That's what happens. They elevate their own self above God, and then all of a sudden there's no room for God. So when they hear about God, they're like, well, that's stupid. I don't need that. Listen to what John MacArthur stated. He said that God would take human form, be crucified and raised in order to provide for man's forgiveness of sin and entrance into heaven is an idea far too simple foolish and humbling for the natural man to accept. That one man, even the Son of God, could die on a piece of wood on a nondescript hill in a nondescript part of the world and thereby determine the destiny of every person who has ever lived seems stupid, foolish to the lost. It seems foolish to the unbeliever. Believers, if you know Jesus, why do you think you're so outraged and offended when one of your non-believing family members or coworkers or friends say something or post something that goes against God's word and standards? I mean, why do you think you get so offended? You know the truth. They're speaking out of their foolishness. Why are we surprised? They're lost. The ways of God are foolish and stupid to them. The message of the cross is nonsense. It is ridiculous. It is hilarious to some. I mean, I just this morning, a famous paper just put out an editorial. It's like, we need to get over God. We need to get over this hating God. We need to basically said we need to pass over this God thing. And that was the editorial. The message of the cross is nonsense. It is ridiculous. It is hilarious to unbelievers who are relying on their own wisdom. And the Bible tells us very clearly that they are perishing. We, as a church, just finished up our message series on the Sermon on the Mount, and we saw that truth, that verse from Jesus. Matthew 7:13 says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many." That wide road, the way of Jesus is the narrow road. The wide road is the easy way where you can bring everything you want on it. But those on that road, Jesus very clearly says they are perishing. It leads to destruction. Those on the wide road to destruction are perishing. For the word of the cross is folly, foolishness to those who are perishing. What does this word perishing mean? When you look at the Greek, when you go back to the Greek language, this word perish is actually very graphic in the Greek language. This is what it means. It means to be destroyed. It means to die. It means to disappear. It means to be lost. It means to be without spiritual life under the condemnation of God. If you do not know Jesus, think about how that just described those who were lost. Disappear, destroyed, under the condemnation of God. That does not sound good. But Jesus very clearly says, you're either on the narrow road or the wide road. You're either on the road that leads to life or the road that leads to destruction. Paul very clearly says, those who consider the cross foolishness, they are perishing. Those who die without believing in Jesus Christ. And maybe you're like hearing this like, well, I was looking for some encouragement this morning. You know, it's Easter Sunday. We get dressed up and we go to church. Just hang with me, because this message, even as we look at what it means to be lost, is good news. It's revealing truth. So hang with me. There is some awesome news. There is awesome news. And we already are singing about it and praising God and talking about it. But here's the truth of the matter. Those who die without believing in Jesus Christ, those who are unwilling to humble themselves at the foot of the cross and give their lives to Jesus, will face judgment of God. You can try to escape it now and try to live your life and fill it with all this stuff and be busy and be successful and all these things. But at some point, everyone is going to face the judgment of God. Philippians 2:10-11 says this, "So that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." We're all going to stand before the Lord. We're all going to stand before the Lord. And at some point, every knee is going to bow. Unbelievers, those who are perishing, those who hate God's ways will one day bow before the name of Jesus. They will bow before Jesus. And anyone who has not responded in faith in Jesus Christ alone will be destroyed. That's not good news. That's not good news. Anyone who has not responded in faith in Jesus Christ will be destroyed. That's God's word, okay? I'm not trying to make it sound scary or not scary. I'm just saying exactly what God's word says. Those who are not of Jesus are perishing, will be destroyed. Their pride will be crushed for eternity in hell. That's the truth. And that truth is offensive, right? That truth is offensive to the lost. The cross is offensive. It's not this little dangly thing that we wear around our necks and we put on our walls and that kind of thing. It's the cross is offensive. The cross meant death for Jesus. Thank the Lord he rose again. He rose again. He's alive. But the cross, the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. It's offensive. It's so offensive, okay? It's so offensive that even many churches today have stopped preaching the cross. We preach a bunch of really cool little sermon series on love and peace and loving neighbors, and it's all good. I mean, there's some good stuff in there. That's in the Bible too. But we don't want to say things that are offensive. The church in many places have stopped preaching the cross. This is amazing to me. It's also very disturbing to me. We live in a culture that is so user-friendly, so non-offensive, so that so many so-called churches have stopped preaching about sin. We've stopped preaching about the cross of Christ. We've stopped preaching about the narrow road because it's difficult. I don't think we can preach about the narrow road because that's hard. Let's preach about just, you know, enjoying our life and having our best life and all these things. We stop preaching what's difficult because it's offensive. We've stopped preaching about the realities of hell. And what happens when we do that as a church is basically we begin just preaching universalism. Like all roads lead to heaven. And that's so dangerous. It's so dangerous. That type of preaching is heretical. It is false. But that's what people are drawn to. People are drawn, that's why they fill stadiums, they fill big buildings. But if you're just saying things that sound good and we're like, yay. What's crazy, what you're going to see here in just a second, is that the good news of the gospel does make us go yay. Because we are humbled by our sin. We are humbled by what Christ did for us. And so all we can do is fall to our knees and basically cheer and say, thank you, Jesus. And then we see what it means to have the abundant life in Christ. And then we can say yay, and we can go live for Christ. And we can feel that incredible abundance of life and that peace and all those things that Christ brings to us. Why is the cross so offensive? Because it's foolishness. Believer, hear this. Christian, the heart-breaking reality is that for those who are offended by the gospel, they're perishing. They're perishing. Dr. Arthur Glasser stated this. He said, a time is coming for all men when they will be either born again or wish they had never been born at all. Sounds like Judas, if you remember that passage. Listen to this, believer. May we be faithful to our call so that those with whom we have contact can know the joy of being born again. We got to tell people about Jesus because those that are against the cross, those that think it's foolish, they're perishing. But here's the good news. You guys want some good news? Yeah. There's good news for those who are perishing. That's the good news. There is good news for those who are perishing. Look at the second half of this verse. And this is the power of the gospel. For the word of the cross is folly for those who are perishing. But here we go. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. There is good news. There is hope. This is the gospel. The word of the cross, this is the gospel. The gospel is God's plan and provision for man's redemption. It is the good news. God is just, God is holy, God is perfect. There is no darkness in him, no sin. And because of this, our sin separates us from him. But the gospel is God's love for us. Jesus, the gospel is God's redemptive plan for us. He loved us so much that he made a way for us to be saved. Amen, right? I mean, that's why we stand and we sing and we lift our hands and in our hearts we're cheering and thanking because God made a way. God made a way for us to be rescued, for us to be delivered, and that way is Jesus Christ. Christ's work on the cross is the pinnacle of God's redemptive story. And this is why those who reject the cross, what they're doing is they are rejecting God's plan of redemption. They're just rejecting it. And therefore, because of that, they're perishing. See, God loves us. He doesn't want us to perish. That's why he provided a way. You guys know this verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him, what? Should not what? Perish. See that word is right there. He's like, I don't want you to perish. I'm providing you a way, but there's only one way. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It's so beautiful and so simple, right? It's so simple. We as sinners can come to Jesus in faith with all of our dirt, with all of our filth, with all of our guilt, with all of our shame and sin, laying it at the foot of the cross in a poverty of spirit, humble, believing in the name of Jesus, believing that Christ is the Son of God, believing that he died and rose again, believing that he is the only way to salvation, confessing that our sin is sin, not trying to justify it, but realizing it is sin and it's separating us from him, putting self aside in order for Christ to be Lord of our life. That is what it is. Romans 10, 9 and 10, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. That is good news. Good news, great news, the best news for those who are perishing, because there is a way. There is a way. And for those who truly believe, they are forgiven. How many of you have ever experienced guilt in your life? Just half of us, okay. Got two hands back there from the same person. You know what that feels like, right? It's heavy. It's heavy. To have that guilt taken away. If you grew up as a kid and you did something and you were just so scared to tell your parents you did it, and then when you did and they're like, it's okay. Was that not the greatest weight lifted off ever? I mean, that's what Jesus has done for us. When we come to him in humility, by faith, recognizing our sin and our shame and our guilt, and he takes that burden of guilt off, says, you're forgiven. This is why the gospel is called the good news. It's called the good news. And I love when children come to Jesus. I love it. I love when in their childlike faith, when they're like, I love Jesus, and I want him to save me. I know I need to be saved. I love that. It's very simple. It's very, it seems very natural, and it's been such, in 16 years at this church, to see so many children saved, of coming through these godly families and then watching them baptize in the chlorinated water of the Midwest City Pool every summer. It's such a blessing to see that very natural, because they love Jesus. They respond in that childlike faith. They're so excited. They're just like, yay. But you know what happens? Many times when adults truly come in contact with the grace of God late and are saved, there's usually a lot of weeping because they've lived this life of sin. And when it's lifted from them, there is weeping. Children are like, I just want Jesus. Adults who come are sobbing because they know that the forgiveness of their Father through Jesus. The power of Christ cleansing them is truly overwhelming. The disciples walked with Jesus. They saw his miracles. They saw the power of Christ. And after Christ rose from the grave and ascended into heaven, these disciples continued to preach the gospel. And what happened to them? They were martyred. They were martyred for their faith. They walked with Jesus. They saw him. They saw him after he rose from the grave. And then as Christ ascended, you know, the angels came and were like, hey, what are you guys standing here for? Go and make disciples. Go do what you're supposed to do. And these disciples were martyred for their faith. And I think back to that and think, do you think they would have gone to their death if Christ was just this man or this prophet that didn't rise from the grave? If Christ stayed in the tomb and never came back, and you know, just had the little memorial there, do you think they would have gone on and been killed for him? They were like, oh, that was fun. Let's go do our other thing. No, they saw him. He appeared to them, and then he said, go make disciples. Go start the church. Go spread the name of Jesus, my name, through this world. And they did, because they saw him. They believed him, and they saw him. The lost would say that's foolish. But if you know Jesus, you know it's real, right? You know it. You know it in your heart. When you read these words, this is not just a book that you checked out at the library or online or what, you know, this is, when you read this as a believer, it speaks to your heart. That's why they say it's alive. And that sounds weird to the lost, right? But it's because the Holy Spirit is teaching us. It's affirming it. It is real. If you know Jesus, it is real. If you truly know Jesus, you'd be just like these disciples. You would die for your faith because you know it's real. My question this morning, if the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart right now, you know that too. You know it. And if I ask the question, are you perishing? You know it. You know your answer. If you're on the wide road to destruction, and I say, are you on that wide road or are you on the narrow road? Do you know Jesus or do you not? That's not for me to. I don't have any. I can't know that. But I can ask the question, and I know you know. I know it. If the Holy Spirit is getting at your heart right now and you are perishing, you know you are or you know you're not. And all I can do, as just a man up here, is share the truth of God's word with you and show you and share with you that there is hope for you. If you are perishing, if you are on that wide road and you know it and you are scared and you are fearful, I can say there is hope, and it's only found in Jesus Christ. It's only found in Jesus Christ. Do you think the cross is foolish? If you do, then you're perishing. And you will face the judgment of God, and your pride will be crushed. It's the truth of God's word. But there is such good news. There is such hope. And that is the gospel of Jesus. For anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You do not have to perish. You do not have to be destroyed. It sounds so terrible, but that's just what it is. You do not have to perish. You can have eternal life in Jesus Christ. You can have hope. We're all looking for hope. We're all looking for peace. We're all looking for joy. And here's the good news. in Jesus Christ, there is joy. There is happiness, even in hard times, because we know eternal joy. We know hope. Will you respond in faith to his call on your life today? If you know you are perishing, will you respond? Or are you going to walk out the door again and say, well, I like my own wisdom. I like what I do. Maybe this isn't real. Are you going to walk out, or do you feel the Holy Spirit call on your life right now? Will you respond in faith, the Holy Spirit calling you to salvation? Christian, as we gathered here this morning, because we love Jesus and we praise his name, but to us who are being saved, the cross is the power of God. The word of the cross is the power of God. Amen? Let's be faithful to that call. Let's be faithful to gathering together and worshiping. Let's be faithful and walking together and living life for Jesus. Let's be faithful to let other people know about the joy of being born again. Let's be faithful to the call. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for rising from the grave. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us and providing a way to salvation. Let's pray. God, thank you for, we can't thank you enough. Our words don't even seem good enough to say thank you, but we try in our humility to say we're so grateful. And I pray that your truth, the power of the gospel is power because it's your word, and when it goes out, you call people to yourself. You're the one that does that. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can earn our way. There's no better way to say it. It's just the truth, and I pray that the word of the gospel, the truth of the gospel, has penetrated all of our hearts this morning. And I pray that if you are calling someone that knows that they are perishing, I pray that they would respond in faith, that they would be saved. I pray for us as believers, we will have been encouraged by the truth of your word, the truth of the gospel, the incredible work you did for us on the cross. We can't help to sing out and to praise you for what you've done. I pray that you would bless this time as we enter a time of reflection and a time of invitation. God, we thank you for Jesus. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.